There we go. We got our Survivor Final Day 39 breakfast, as is tradition.
What? Oh, yeah. I said no spoilers.
I didn't say who was there at breakfast. I just said that standard Day 39 breakfast.
All right.
Remember when we used to discuss Survivor on the show?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Well, we should do that next season.
Oh, but people complained.
Who complained?
People complained about it, yeah.
Oh, they didn't like the Survivor part.
Or at least somebody didn't.
Who, Adam?
I don't think it was Adam. I think it was one of our listeners didn't like it. Or several of our listeners didn't care for it.
Then that wasn't Damon. Because he doesn't listen to the show.
Right. Well, no, he listened back then when he wasn't on it, which is weird.
He liked it better when he wasn't on it.
Yeah, right.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk again this week. All right, so we decided that even though there's not enough groundbreaking headlines this week, you still earn the right to hear from us. Plus, if nothing else, I'm sure you're all looking forward to our Game of Thrones review. And yes, that will be at the end of the show, so if you have not watched this week's episode, you can listen to the show up until that segment and still get your fill of Saints, NFL, and Pelicans. That's right, I said it. Pelican Plunge will be on this episode. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all time, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
If you haven't watched Game of Thrones yet, what the hell are you doing? Like, if you watched the show and you haven't watched it yet, I mean, you're just an idiot. It's 3 days later. I'm going to go ahead and assume that everybody that does watch Game of Thrones has seen this week's episode.
Well.
Anyway, I'm a one.
Okay.
Had a couple of glasses of wine with dinner and fixed a drink for the show, and that's kind of been my standard tradition recently. If you're a zero and Damon's a zero, gotta get that one in there.
Somebody's gotta have a number. Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. Zero.
Even in the off season, he can't surprise us with a number.
I don't have an off season. I don't play for the team. I don't have an off season.
All right. Well, then, speaking of the off-season, let's talk about off-season headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And so, let's just get started quick. I mean, these are going to be probably quick responses, so we'll breeze through them. You see what I did there? All right. All picks are now officially signed. All five of our draft picks. Anything you got to say about it?
Omanyata was the last guy. He signed today. And they're all slotted, so. I mean, I'm surprised. Like, Omanyata, they had, a rookie minicamp this week, and he showed up despite not being signed yet, which can be a little surprising if he injures himself, which I think had happened to Jacksonville's first round pick last year in the very first rookie mini camp. He tore his ACL and he hadn't even signed his contract yet.
Jeez. I don't remember that.
Yeah, Fowler, the defensive end.
Oh, yeah. Buffalo. And then the wide receiver got hurt the next day, right? Same day, next day. Like, Buffalo's fucked.
Well, yeah, Buffalo's. They're Buffalo. I mean,
they're in an eternal state of fucktitude.
Right. Now they have Rob Ryan on their staff. Yeah.
They're
definitely fucked.
That's why everything's happening over there.
Yeah. We'll pass that on to them gladly.
Yeah. Well, it is nice. I mean, this is a result of, the CBA they signed a couple of years ago with all the draft picks being slotted now, kind of like the NBA, where you know what you're going to make. And it just makes the process so much easier. Gets them all in, Back before that, even the Saints, now no one ever missed any, a lot of time in training camp, but everybody, there was always 3 or 4 days late signing into training camp. So this does make it excellent and get everybody in here ready to go. So has anybody held out in the last several years? I mean, not just for New Orleans, but anybody?
Oh,
I mean, I don't think into training camp, no. I mean, I think for sure. All the rookies are signed, at least. I mean, I think there's still some stragglers that haven't signed yet. There's still news coming out where a guy here or there will sign, but for the most part, you know, they're all
right. Right. This is what you're going to get. It's like you said, it's a formula, so there's really not much negotiating going on. So, no, I'm glad to have them all in. And
yeah, let's get rolling. Yep.
All right, and then so speaking of holdouts, there's been no Drew Brees extension, and I know it's not a holdout, but it's just a fun way to segue into the topic.
Yeah, no,
and his agent made a comment on a radio show that apparently the Saints are okay with his cap figure this year. I mean, we're under the cap.
So if worse
comes to worse, then we keep him at this year. But I really would like to get something done. I don't want him.
Well, yeah, but with all of our deals, I mean, we're done with contracts.
Well, right, but that's not the issue.
And
is
we're under
I don't,
the cap, right?
Well, the issue is I don't want him to be a free agent after this season.
Well, right. I don't. Right. You think right to have an extension signed, not necessarily change this year's number. I'm good with not changing this year's number.
Mm-hmm.
We can play under it. We're under the cap, like you just said. All of our rookies are signed. I'd like to have maybe a couple of bucks that if a veteran, and there's going to be veterans cut after training camp, right before the season start, that we might want to bring in.
And there's even still some veterans out there. I mean, still Jari Evans still out there. If we decided, man, our guards really suck, let's try to bring them back towards training camp. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but at least it would leave the door open.
You'd like to have a couple of bucks, but yeah, I'm just as good for him playing under his cap number this year. I mean, that's fine.
But it's to me, it's just more I'd rather have him in for the long term, and I wouldn't want to deal with him playing out this year and then us and him having being a free agent next year.
Right. Because
some team's going to throw a lot of cash at him.
Exactly, and it doesn't matter what he has here. What he's done here in the past and any of that. Drew Brees will leave. Someone else offers him more money, he'll go.
Yeah, he's going to
I mean, not even close.
Yep, we would be stuck. We would be really...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I don't think Sean Payton or Mickey Loomis will let that happen.
Nope. Thank you.
I mean, I hope, but like you've said before, Drew's... He wants cash.
Oh, yeah, he'll leave, you know, when... He has your look. I've said this. He's a top five quarterback in the league still. Mm-hmm. He has the negotiating power. And I think I said, stop me if I said this last week again. The only thing I'm worried about, whatever contract he does sign, is the dead money after he's gone. You know,
which I'll be honest, once I'm not even worried about that because once he's gone, I expect a year or two of suckitude at the minimum.
Man.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad the first year that he is not our quarterback. It's going to take almost a miracle to have somebody in place that could take over and come close to what we would.
No, yeah, he's a once in a lifetime franchise quarterback, so it'll be bad. But again, you just this whole kicking the can down the road and dead money just pisses me off. I mean, I hate waste. Period. Okay, I'm a person who hate waste, and dead money is just a big waste and hurts you, as we've seen.
Yeah, and we're good at it.
Yeah. So,
we've been very good at that.
Right, so anyway, yeah. But look, I mean, we still have Brees in a contract. I forget when the league year ends in March. So, we still have a year to get this done, and I believe they'll get it done.
Once the season starts, you don't expect negotiations to still be going on. Normally players like, no, once the season starts, they're like, nope, we're going to table it until the year's over. So if something's going to be done, it's going to have to be done before the year starts.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, if the two sides are close
I'm sure he would prefer to stay here because he's got the coach, you know, he's got his coach. He's been here for so long, but.
Well, again, we said he's involved with these Jimmy Johns and walk-ons, you know, so he definitely has investments here that I'm sure he put forward thinking about retirement. Because look, I, you know, him playing until he's 45 and all that, Yeah, it's not happening, man.
No.
I mean, it life happens, and you. So, I'm fairly confident it'll get done, and that he will be our quarterback.
I'm surprised to hear you say that. Now that you know that there's not an extension, I mean, like.
Well, yes, look, I mean, I don't.
Didn't you say like if there wasn't an extension, you kind of, you know, about a month ago.
Yeah,
we're of the position that he wouldn't be here.
But I can't see Mickey Loomis. Or Sean Payton letting, you know, and not, I don't know how much Payton has, but I can't see Loomis letting him walk no matter what, really. You know?
Especially considering, like, there's going to be fan revolt if they somehow let him.
Well, again.
But remember when Sean Payton had his love letter press conference, didn't we all kind of feel like that was kind of, we knew that, or felt like that was the we're both staying kind of thing. Like, Sean wouldn't be staying if he didn't feel like Drew was staying.
Well, I think it's more the fact, well, okay, Sean staying definitely is a big draw for Drew to stay. See, unless his demands are just totally, I don't know, totally outrageous. You know, if he wants to average $30 million over the next 4 years, I mean, come. But look, Andrew Luck, the asshole from Baltimore.
Flacco.
I want to call him Frisco for some reason.
Oh,
Flacco.
Joe Frisco.
I think, you know,
like
he's...
Bryce.
Joe Frisco.
His contract is 22.5 a year.
Joe Piscopo?
Those are the down years. Come on.
So I think somewhere around there we can definitely live with Drew. The salary cap has gone up since he signed his last thing, so... That's reasonable. Anywhere between 20 and 22.5, 23.
I mean, fuck, we could probably live with 25.
Well, yeah, but that's really sticking it. I mean, that's sticking it to you, to stick it to you, you know?
It is, but that's, like you said, that's kind of Breeze's M.O. Like, he doesn't
care. Yeah, no, he doesn't, you know, and goddamn it, I mean, yeah, fuck it. Look at what Denver just won the fucking Super Bowl. With a quarterback that was the worst he'd ever been in his career. And now they fucking, they're overpaying fucking Osweiler. I mean, not Osweiler.
Well, they're not over, they signed.
No, they signed Sanchez.
They got Sanchez. They're not overpaying, but they drafted Lynch. But I mean, right. They're definitely going to be down this year.
Right. The Texans overpaid Osweiler. That's right.
Right.
You know, and it's just like, you know, you look at these teams without a quarterback, and it's total diss of fucking Ray.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if Breeze wants 25, fuck it. You got to give it to him. What the fuck can you do?
Right, I'd rather go with Breeze at 25 than I mean,
Joe Piscopo with...
Right. It's kind of like you want to take it in the ass with Vaseline or without, okay?
Right.
That's the fucking thing. And with Drew Breeze, because of how good he is, at least you're lubed up nicely. When you take someone like Osweiler, that's no lube in there. That's just a fucking...
Hey, look, if we wouldn't have fucked ourselves with all these other bad contracts and all this other dead money, then it wouldn't even matter.
That's because Drew took
right.
all the lube.
No. And again, the Jimmy Graham thing was weird. Look, you know, that contract was weird because, and we talked about it, you know, I think something happened. Graham's attitude changed because of the controversy surrounding him.
Well, he was incredibly bitter.
Right, he was bitter, so that's why that's
weird. That's got to be weird to be bitter about. Or unless, I mean, how much money did he feel like he lost?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But again,
but welcome to the business, kid.
Right, so that contract wasn't bad. We just weren't expecting to get rid of him so quickly and have all that fucking.
But looking back, I'm kind of glad we did get rid of him because we on the show that specific season. That's hard to say. We kept talking about how he was Drew's crutch, and then Drew was less effective because Jimmy was on the team because he always tried to push and force the ball to Jimmy in double, triple coverage, which sometimes it worked, but sometimes old alligator arms came out. So I'm glad we got rid of Jimmy, and I don't think we suffered for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm down with that. I think.
Yeah, I mean, consider we got Unger and Anthony out of the deal.
Yeah.
Speaking of Unger, what are these commercials that him and Drew Brees are doing for the Tempur-Pedic mattress?
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
It's full. I mean, Drew Brees' Twitter is all about it, but I don't know. They're a little weird, huh?
Who cares?
I do like the one with Drew Brees where he had the mustache, where he was. I forget, he's trying to be cool or something.
I only saw one of them. I didn't see the other one.
But the one where Drew Brees gets in the bed with Max?
Yeah, that's the one I saw. Are those local only, or is that a national spot?
He's tweeting them.
Jeff, do they show up on Alexandria cable? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
Call me, tell me.
All right. Next headline, Scobie's cut. I mean, not really a headline, but...
Not really a headline, but I mean, we signed him, and then it's funny because he played in the Saints. The Saints had their golf tournament on Monday.
We signed him because he's a good golfer and somebody needed him on his team.
Well, yeah, he caddied for somebody at the Players' Championship this weekend, and he came in and played in the tournament Monday, and then we cut him Tuesday. I mean, I figured we'd at least bring him into camp and then cut him, but shit. Although, look, it's not like we've made good decisions with kickers at all under Pete, so... Can you really be surprised? I mean, who the fuck knows? We've blown so many opportunities with kickers. And Scobie was a good kicker for a while, but his last couple of years, he really wasn't good. Maybe he came in and they kicked and like, yeah, let's just good bait. So now we just have Forbath for now. I'm sure they'll bring somebody else into camp.
Yeah.
I think there was maybe Connor Barth was maybe in this past week. They had tryouts. I think that was the kicker that was in. So maybe they signed him to compete with Forbath. I don't know. All you can guarantee is that whatever happens with the kicker position, we're going to make the wrong decision.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's as is tradition.
Speaking of us keeping to do the same things over and over, now's a good way to segue into the Bill Barnwell article, Damon, that you wanted to talk about, because he kind of said... Oh, Jason, you wanted to talk about it. He kind of said the Saints, or the NFC South, for that matter, pretty much did the same thing they do every offseason. And that part of the Saints was they didn't overpaid for Kobe Fleener.
Yeah, he didn't like the Fleener move, and obviously he's like, well, the defense is what needs to be hit. And look, our defense has sucked. And, you know, sometimes you could plug and play a tight end. I mean, Ben Watson had his best season ever, but... Without that, if you're going in with Josh Hill and Humana Nui and maybe some draft pick, I'd rather, I mean, look, and we said it when it happened, I'm okay with, yes, our defense needs help, but I'm okay with the Fleener deal. I think Fleener's going to really thrive in this offense, and the tight end helps this offense, especially in the red zone where even though the offense has been good, we've had some struggles. And at that point, I mean, what other defensive player were you going to bring in? That kind of money. I mean, you had a few defensive people change hands, but a lot of times, huge free agents, they haven't really panned out for us, especially on defense. So I'd rather take my chances, sign a talented tight end, and then see. Hopefully, you can hit in the draft on defense. But just man, it got a ton of reaction today on Twitter. And
with the Fleener deal, look, like it or not, I mean, you have to pay it. There's two sides of the ball that you have to pay attention to. We can't just go out and take all defensive people and totally ignore the offense. I mean, that's silly. Yes, the offense is 100% less of a problem, and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago with our draft pick, with Tunsil being there. I mean, wow, that's a great, we believe. I mean, that's a guy with a lot of upside. But we went with Rankins because that's what needed, that was the most pressing need. Mm-hmm. You know, the offense, while not up to the 2011,
which is never going to happen again.
Right, you know, but I mean, but it's fine. Again, we were six in the league. You know, we'll be a top five offense more likely than not. So, you know, yeah, but Rankins. You know, I have high hopes for him. I mean, they're comparing him to Aaron Donald for St. Louis. Man, if he can come out and have that kind of impact, I mean.
Oh yeah, that'd be absurd. And they were, you know, with rookie minicamp, they were kind
not
of raving.
Not absurd. I mean, it wouldn't be absurd. It'd be happy.
I
mean,
well, that's what I mean.
I don't think it'd be out of the realm of possibility.
And they were just raving about his kind of maturity coming in, and like basically all he does is care about football, and he seems like the right kind of guy. On top of the talent that he has, so God, if he pans out like we think, you know, and we hope he will, then. It's going to be a huge boost to help this defense because it's something we just haven't had is the pressure inside. And then, you know, Barnwell said, you know, keeps bringing up cap hell. I mean, look, we all know look, our cap hasn't been great, and but yet we've managed to be under it the whole time. And a lot of that is mostly just the bad drafts have really killed us. Like, yeah, we've issued out some contracts and they haven't panned out, but if we would have drafted well, we could have overcome that, and the drafts have been so bad, and that's really the reason why we're 7-9 the last 2 years, because our drafts have been absolutely
right.
Shit.
Look, and again, the only thing, you know, the bad contracts. Okay, Bird hasn't lived up to his contract. The Junior Gallet, to me, that was the only, well.
I mean, at the time,
only,
it seemed.
Was, who, no, no, Junior Gallet never seemed all right for me. Never.
But he had double-digit sacks a year. That's worth $10 million a year.
No, I don't give a fuck. His contract, what was his contract? Do you even remember?
Like 4 years, 40.
$45 million?
Yeah, know? Something like that for a double-digit sack guy. Obviously not realizing.
But again, hadn't done it enough for you to call him a double. He had done it 1 year.
But he ended up doing it that first year of the deal. He had
you know, but they signed him, but he got the contract after doing it one time.
Well, they tried to be proactive and thinking, okay, if he does this again and he hits the open market, it's going to be 15 or 16 million instead of 12.
Yeah, I don't.
The problem is they didn't. I don't they think see his
no fucking, no bullshit. They didn't see it. Don't tell me that
they ignored it or something.
Well, they ignored it. That's different than that they saw it. But that was the only terrible deal. Jimmy Graham's deal wasn't terrible. It was him being an asshole was terrible.
And us constantly renegotiating deals and kicking the can down the road to increase.
Yeah, but I don't think we're dealing with any of that this year. Those aren't the numbers.
I think this will. I mean, I'm assuming this is going to be the last major year, although, if we fucking cut Bird or, Mickey will finagle something. I mean, that's kind of what he always does.
Or God knows what happens with, I don't know if Evans had, I don't think he had any money left on the table.
But I think Evans has some dead money this year.
In 16?
16, Evans and Colston both have some dead money this year.
All right, good.
But it was just wild. It was kind of all the rage today on Twitter. And I'm like, look, he's a decent writer, but okay, you can grade. It's like grading a fucking draft. You can say we had a shitty offseason. The Saints go 11-5. Our offseason wasn't that shitty. You really can't judge it until the season happened, and you can look and say, yeah, that was kind of bad. So, I mean, I know they need content.
Same thing like people grading the Saints draft already,
right.
or any NFL team's draft. Like, these guys haven't played it down yet.
Well, look, people are going to push it out there, but for fans to just get so upset about it and to make this a huge talking point, like, it's not going to be any it doesn't mean a damn thing until this season happens and we see where we stand. It just doesn't. Like, there's no reason to get worked up over it. Yeah, he says it. Okay, fine. He's got his opinion, whatever. If the Saints go 6-10 this year, you can love it and say, yeah, he was right.
Right. Opinions are like assholes. Everybody's
right.
Got one.
Right.
You don't like it? That's your opinion.
Get all worked up is just a waste of effort and whatever.
Yeah. All right. Then let's talk about the Saints Vegas odds. So you're talking about 11-5, 10-6, Super Bowl. What do we have? Did you say the third worst odds to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. I think it was like 90-1 or even worse.
I
got $100 I need to send to Vegas.
Yeah. I saw someone say 80-1. I mean, no doubt you'd put that on.
It really.
Why not?
I mean, look, we probably won't win the Super Bowl, but goddamn, that's an enticing place, $100 bet, and you can win $9,000. It's not the worst bet you could make. When I bet them in 09, it was 20-1. But what's funny is that, I mean, just...
You bet before the season they'd win the Super Bowl in 2009?
Yeah, I bet my dad was in Vegas, and I put a $150 bet down in 2009 before it happened at 20-1, and it won. It hit. So I won $3,000.
And who went back to Vegas to collect for you?
It was my dad gave me the ticket, and I mailed it. You mail in the ticket back, and they send you a check.
Oh, really?
So I mailed in the ticket to wherever it had to go.
I did that in 19. Oh, I figured out that.
Oh, Jesus.
1995, 96.
Why would you do that back then?
No, not for the Saints. Fuck this.
Okay.
I bet when I was there in March. And me and a buddy, and we were, messing around at the sports book. And it was going on during the Final Four, and I think there were 8 teams left. And I forget who won it that year, like Gonzaga or something. And, it was 8 teams left. And I just put I put $100 on the biggest dog. Yeah, so because back then you had to now again this is you know the internet wasn't what it was and all that shit, but you had to actually go there to claim your ticket. You couldn't mail it in, so I had to pick something that was okay. If I win, I can you know
it'd be worth it for you to fly
yeah,
out.
Right, it'd be worth to fly out there again. You never have a little vacation anyway, and I wind up winning. That was a very fun trip. Also won like $5,100 on roulette.
Nice.
Yeah, drunker than shit.
But I mean, it's wild. Now look, obviously I'm not expecting, you know, realistically you don't expect him to win the Super Bowl,
no.
But you still got Breeze as a quarterback. You would hope the defense would be somewhat improved.
Oh, that Atlanta is
right. I mean,
that Atlanta's odds are better than the Saints. You go fuck yourself.
Right, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
Absolutely absurd. There's a bunch of teams that are like, look, yeah, they might be okay, but are they really that much better than us?
I mean,
the worst defense in the league, we still won 7 games last.
Well, but that's their big thing. Look, you need some, you know, you need at least some sort of defense to win. I guess how they're looking at it is like you said, worst defense in the league, and an aging quarterback, and they're all you know about Drew Brees isn't the quarterback he was 3 years ago.
Yeah, last year he still led the league in passing.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot more than stats to being a quarterback. We all understand that. It's not just about stats. But
right.
Again, I think the demise of Drew Brees as a quarterback is a little
greatly exaggerated.
Right. I mean, again, he definitely might not be what he was, but he's still. He's still one of the best in the league.
Yep, and he's definitely good enough to win.
A little defense. And look, defenses can change like that, man. I mean, you know, who knows? Dennis Allen and maybe.
I mean, I do think that's kind of a big thing to not have Rob Ryan here. I think that's a big
plus.
I mean, look, if this defense can just get to number 20, they can get to 20. This can be a 10-win team, and then
easily. Right.
You get a few turnovers here and there.
Well, ball bounces your way like it did Carolina last year.
And I guess the good thing is I do kind of like being this kind of underdog. Like nobody expects us to do anything this year.
We used to excel when we were in that position. So no, I'm excited. Again, always when 2000, I had no expectation for the Saints. Okay? We won our first playoff game. 2009 coming off,
Look, 2006.
2006, yeah. I mean, right, no expectations. I forgot. You know,
right.
NFC Championship game. 2009, you know, we had a good 2006 season, but 7-8, we were 7-9 and 8-8, right. So ain't no way any of us thought, oh, yeah, 2009, man, this is our year. We're about to fucking break through, you know.
Well, I did place a bet in Vegas.
Right, well, you know.
I know.
But, So, yeah, this season, again, no expectations, not a lot of people watching. Who knows? I mean, I think we can easily be a playoff team. Easily.
All right. Let's move into – I don't have any more Saints headlines. Did y'all have anything else you wanted to
– Not about the Saints, no.
Okay. You want to go into –
I guess not. I mean, we made some roster moves here and there. They did – it's funny. They cut that quarterback. They cut that quarterback that we –
Spence Courtney was all excited about?
2 minutes talking about, yeah. Griffin Neal? Yeah, we cut him. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So maybe he just needed a way to get back into the country. All right, let's get into NFL Reach Around. Damon, what did you want to talk about with NFL Reach Around?
A couple of things. I wanted to laugh at the Falcons.
All right, next.
No, well, but
that's always fun. Right, there's a reason. Oh.
I mean, you're right.
There's
Jeff.
The
not that we need a reason, correct? But still, it's
all right. Go ahead.
Their PSL numbers came out. You know, they're building the new stadium and. They have a personal seat license.
A personal seat license to sit inside of a metal asshole.
Right. They've only sold 45% of their PSLs. And while obviously when reporting on it, they, you know, they're going to put a good spin on it.
Of course.
People are not pointing out that Minnesota, who's, you know, doing the same thing they are, and the same, they're way ahead of the Falcons as far as seat license is concerned. And if you go on their message board, they're all pissed off. All the fans obviously are pissed off about these PSLs. I mean, they couldn't sell the fucker out to begin with. How do you put a personal seat license on every seat? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Am I the only one?
No, look.
Look, a new stadium you're going to, that has to bring some sort of excitement. But you couldn't sell out the old stadium, and I don't think people weren't going because of the stadium.
Yeah, they're going because they don't really care as much about
right.
It's fucking Atlanta.
Right, you know? So, I don't get it. I hope it's a big egg on Arthur Blank's face and shows just what a shitty, shitty fan base Atlanta is.
As is, of course, the tradition.
And then that will bring me to the next...
PR thing about Atlanta.
What?
Were you still going to talk about Atlanta or something?
Oh, yeah, no. What are you going to bring up? The food prices?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about that. Look, I like that idea.
As someone
who goes to the games, dude, I would love if I could get a $5 refillable Coke and a $2 hot dog.
And I wonder if, because how good the game is at home and how cheap it is, and if, like, I don't know how season ticket sales are and attendances around the league, but with just prices going up and up and up and up, and I mean, it costs so much to go to a game now, there's going to be a time where, to me, there's going to be a fall off in stadium attendance, and this is at least one way to help that, I think. I mean, I really think this could start a trend in this.
Man, I hope so. I really hope so. Because, yes, I mean, I was going to bring this up, but again, this is one of the things I was going to say. You know, obviously, I mean, I hate to compliment the Falcons or Arthur Blank, but this is really a great idea for the fans that do pay all the money to show up. Now, look, I mean, and someone I on a message board, you know, look, now these people are paying $5,000 and up just for PSLs, so maybe they deserve a $2 Coke. I mean, but Atlanta's promoting this like, you know, this isn't a one-year gimmick. This is, you know, this is going to be the starting price, and they're obviously going to go up eventually, but that it's not just 1 year, you know, so.
It is also a nice PR spin to put on to cover up the fact that they're not selling these PSLs.
Sure, no doubt. But even in the Superdome, okay, if you buy those $7,
like the big souvenir sodas.
Yeah, right. But you don't get a refill with that.
No. We get it in the arena for Pels games, but you don't get it in the Saints games.
Oh, okay. You refill in the.
Yeah. Like you. Well, because I also have the season ticket holders get the season ticket order card, so we get. Well, I get, because I've had tickets long enough, I get 15% off of all concessions and...
That would be nice to do at the Superdome.
It would be, and souvenirs, so I get the... Like, usually we'll go to a game, Renee will get the big drink. I think normally it's like $7, I think we get it for like $5.50, and then, it's free refills the rest of the game.
Well, see, that's not... I mean, I guess I might go off on a little tangent, but yeah, look, you've heard me say this before, I've been going to the Dome since 89... My tickets actually go back to the 70s, even before I was born. So the prices in the Dome are outrageous.
Yeah.
This year has to be $10 beer, right?
Usually, well, I think normally they go up every, like, 2 years.
They didn't go up last year. I don't think they did.
No, I thought they went up to $9.50.
Right. Okay, I mean, I know they've been at $9. I thought
so they might stay at $9.50 this year, but maybe next year they'll be up at $10, but...
No.
It's gotten to the point where very rarely do I buy beer at the
stadium.
Well,
again, man, I mean, if
you can't.
Right, I mean, if you're sitting there, and at least in my section, you know, we always make friends with the people in front of us and all that. But, you know, so if you want to buy a round of beers, I mean, if you buy six beers, you've got $60. I mean, that's outrageous, you know?
Yeah, it's stupid.
I mean, $60 for six beers? Go fuck yourself. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, that's one thing that I do wish. But I guess if you're the Saints and you're thinking people are paying it, and
I mean, that's the thing. If they're still making
right.
enough, but I just figure, man, you lower the beer to $6, you're going to sell a lot more beers. than you will at night. I think you saw a lot more than enough.
I don't think they that people. Do you really think people don't buy beer because of the price? I mean,
I don't.
Sure,
I don't.
Sure,
really? Sure, I don't. Like,
yeah,
if
come on, dude.
If beer was $6, I would drink a lot more beer at the games.
Well, maybe they actually don't want that. I mean, maybe they don't want people to get rip roaring drunk.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Yeah, but we tailgate.
I mean, I know at Damon's Hoity Toity section they don't want that, but up in the terrace, up in 648,
you need to get rowdy in the
right. Give me those $6 beers. That's what
nobody
helps
can.
Us.
Nobody can hear you all up there anyway. They don't.
Okay.
No one can hear you all up there.
Okay.
The drunks up there.
But I mean, look, that's why. Look, if I know I'm going to drink at a game, I bring in my disposable flask and I just buy the souvenir whatever or even the medium and just pour it in and I'm good. I save a ton of money by not drinking beer at the games.
Well, again, right, like you said, I mean, even if you drink one beer a quarter, that's $40. That's, I mean, on top of the $275 I pay for a ticket.
Well, that
I
you
mean,
pay, right.
That's a lot of money. I don't care what you pay. Again, how much are your tickets per game?
50.
So if you buy four beers, you basically double the price of your ticket. Percentage-wise, it's even a lot more than what we pay in the.
But yeah, I mean, I would pay just as much for beer as I would for the ticket.
Right.
Which is, and sometimes like I'll hop in and maybe I'll drink a beer or two. Like the game I went with you, I actually drank a couple of beers.
Right.
But that really doesn't happen a lot because it's too expensive. Like if the beer was $5 or $6, I would definitely drink beer every game.
Sure, at $5 a beer, yeah. And you spend $20, $25 on
beer. Yeah, yeah. I would gladly do that.
Again, look, I don't want to go to the game and get rip-roaring drunk. I go to the football game because I enjoy football, and I enjoy the Saints. I enjoy the game. I've told you all about the story. I mean, I've literally only been drunk at a Saints game twice, and only one of those were a regular season game. It was during the Phoenix game in the playoffs in 2009. We started, you know, because we were so up so much. I don't remember the fourth quarter at all.
Because we were up by 30.
Right. Well, no. Well, that's why I let myself get so drunk because I, you know. And the next day, I called Doug and said, "Did you know they pulled Kurt Warner?" Because everybody was having a good time, you know. And then the other time I'd gotten drunk at a game was 98-97. We were playing the Chicago Bears, and. I got so drunk, you know, I can't sit down when I'm drunk. I'm walking on the concourse and I see an elevator. I thought, I've never seen that elevator before. I've never been in that elevator before. So I go in the elevator and I press down and the door is open and I'm underneath the stadium. I said, I've never been here before. So I start walking and I'm drunk. I start walking and I look to my left and I see the field. I've never been on the field before. Now, there's a game going on. So I walk. It's like where the players come out. You know, I walk where the players come out. Now, I'm sober enough for, you know, that I don't walk onto the field. You know, I'm not in. But I decide to walk between the sideline and the Bears bench. Okay? And I just walk there. I mean, I just walk straight. Not, you know, just like I know what I'm doing. And I'm about maybe 5, 6, 7 steps in. And all of a sudden, two cops grabbed me on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, hello there, officer. And anyway, they took me to some room, and I told them, well, I've just never been there before.
You went to Superdome jail.
You know, no, the guy said, all right, go. And thank God, he just let me go. He said, all right, go back to your seat. And he just let me go back to my seat. But those are the only times I've honestly been drunk at the Dome during the Saints game. And so, but Jason, you're correct. I do believe lowered prices. I mean, that is a financial strategy. Lower the price a little bit, sell more product, you make more of a profit.
Right, because they're making profit over it anyway. If they sell more of it,
right,
kind of like McDonald's, you sell more of it, you're going
to
make more.
Right, and then they're fucking. I mean, have you tried to buy a cocktail?
Yeah, $15 or $16.
$15.
I don't do that. Well, that's
a
double
watered down cherry Coke. I don't want it.
Well, that's a double, sure, but I don't drink anything but doubles. You know?
Right, exactly. So I definitely learned, like, I don't do that.
You need
a
double.
Like, I did that one game a couple years ago, and I went home, and I'm like, man, I had a lot more money before I got there.
Right.
Like, holy shit. Like, I spent $60 on it. I was like, nope, never again.
Right.
Just not going
to
do it.
Right. Now, right. Now you're down to four drinks, you know, or $60. But just,
yeah,
I do wish they, and then, like I said, you know, God forbid I wanted to buy a hot dog or something. You know, Doug and I, we're in the club section. So we go in and get us a. They have a nice prime rib on a on a pull right. boy, you know, that's nice in the club, but
that's still going to be $12-13.
Oh, that's $30 when you buy you know, a Coke to go with it. It's $40. And it's like, man, if we go to out to a fairly nice restaurant before the game and spend $50 and have a nice an appetizer or a meal and everything. But yeah, I understand they have to make their money, but God bless it, they need to.
And look, that goes back to, look, you got high def TV at home, you get great views, you get cheap beer, you got a bathroom right at your disposal.
I think this is. I will agree with everything you said except great views. And again, I think we've talked about this on the show before. You do not see the same thing on TV that you see sitting at that stadium. And I mean, you'll know that you're there.
No, and I love being in the stadium live. Like, that's something I'm not going to give up.
That's why you go. The feel of the fucking the fans in the stadium. If you can't replicate that at home. And yeah, you can be with your family and it's fun. And I'm not bad mouthing anybody who doesn't do it. But man, being in that stadium in 2009. Actually, 2000, technically 2010, you know, but
yeah,
and Hartley kicked that field goal. I mean, it was, literally.
I mean, look, I say that it's easy for me to say that. Look, I'm paying $50 a game. Like, I couldn't imagine paying anywhere from $200 to $400 a game per ticket. Like, I mean, I don't think I could afford that. I would rather stay at home. But $50 up in the terrace, yeah, like, I'm good. I can. That's perfectly fine, as long as I'm in the building up top. That's why I don't perceive myself ever moving too far from that spot.
See, now
when I'm the game from my couch. My beers average about $1.75 a piece.
Right.
Well, you are a cheapskate, but that's what we love about you.
but I'm the opposite, and maybe I'm just spoiled because I've been sitting, you know, in roughly the same area since 1989. I don't know. I mean, I think when the Saints price us out, I'm staying home, not going to.
You wouldn't go up top? I mean, look, I can see.
I see what it means. I mean, once you've had
filet mignon, right?
right. You don't go back to Brittany,
right? I mean, yeah, sort of like that. And look, there are some nice seats, you know, where, you know, do you know where Stephen Flynn sits?
No.
And there's, I don't know, five or six rows. And the terrace, well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, when you come up the concourse into the terrace, there's those padded seats.
Yeah, you have some,
you know,
lower.
Right at the very beginning of the terrace.
Yeah.
Those first five or six seats, you know, maybe anywhere between the 40s, I could probably, you know, do that. But Jason, you've been to my seats. I mean.
Yeah, no, it was a nice experience.
Not just the seats, but. The whole club area.
Oh, it was very
nice. The space you have, it's not crowded.
Yeah, no, it was really very nice. It was very comfortable to sit there, very comfortable to walk around. When we walked in and we went through the club area, the first time I'd ever been in the club area, you know, for a game, it was very nice. If you're going to pay that much, it gives you the option to do that, whereas where I sit, yeah, I don't have that
you're
option.
Crowded. And look, it's nice now because, dude, from before 2005, you know, I forget when they added the club seats in there. They started charging us a club fee somewhere around 97, 98, and it wasn't what it is today. You know, obviously with the premium.
Yeah, there was like a back room with black tarps in it, right?
Correct, right. It was a lot different, and people could come in and out, and it was just as crowded. So for a long time, we paid a club fee and didn't necessarily get – at the time, the big deal was we could get cocktails and nobody else could. That, you know, for a long time, that was a thing. But since Katrina, look, the whole Superdome, they've done, I mean, what, they put $400 million into it?
Yeah, they put a bunch. And, well, wait until we get our actual Jumbotron.
Oh.
I saw a picture. Somebody tweeted a picture.
Yes, I saw that. I'm going to bring that up.
Yeah, it's massive.
It is, dude, it is spectacular.
$10 beer spectacular?
Hey, you know what? That would be a reason for them to upcharge to $10 to help pay for that shit.
Right. And if you want to, they've been saying what those boards will do. If you want to, go to YouTube and type in Houston Texans new video boards. And it'll bring up a video, and it'll show you what. Because these things aren't like what we've had now. I mean, basically, it's like a computer screen, sort of like the ribbon that goes around the dome now, where that whole thing will not be video. The center part will be video showing replays, and then the outside, they'll be showing fantasy football stats, advertisements, obviously, and other entertainment things, you know, like when a player does a tackle, they'll throw his bio and stats up there, and again, like I said, you know, fantasy football stats. It's going to be exciting. I mean, it's going to be nice.
We're finally going to be modern,
right? It's like going between a flip phone and an iPhone.
Yeah,
I mean, not
even a flip phone, the old Nokia.
Yeah, I was going to say
the brick phone, right? You know. Yeah.
You
know,
holy
so that I mean that is an exciting. I'm sorry, that is an exciting.
Jeff, you may want to come down for the unveiling of our Jumbotron game one.
Oh, maybe I will.
Raiders, the Raiders.
I'm sure Doug won't make a game this year.
Yeah,
Jeff, and we'll
book me up.
Yeah,
Doug, I get first dibs on all your tickets. All right, y'all ready to move on?
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
The Pelican Plunge!
The game.
Yeah.
Playing to survive. Aiming to win any way they can.
You're gonna win!
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast.
All right, y'all ready to move on?
Hey, so the NBA draft lottery was last night, and for the first time in a long time, the lottery was chalk, just based on what your odds were. Every team ended up in the spot where their odds were. So the Pelicans picked 6, which is a good spot. A lot of projections are Buddy Hield, which sign me up. Done. I'm good. So, look, I would have liked to get one or two to get Simmons or Ingram, but there's a good player there. As long as we don't fucking trade the pick, which Dell has done more often than not. As long as we keep the pick, I'm all in for Buddy Hield. That's who I'm shooting for, so let's go. And that's it. That's a nice quick punch.
Right. Who, where
oh,
do, where
why do
you
extend this, Damon?
That's okay.
Shut up, Jeff.
Yeah, shut up.
Where did the Lakers come in at?
2nd.
At 2, okay, so.
So I know Simmons really wants to go to L.A., obviously, but Philly has the first pick, so I'm kind of, you know, Philly should take him. I mean, they really should take Simmons.
Well, but some are saying Ingram's going to be even better than Simmons.
Ingram, I think, is more ready, but Simmons is so tantalizing in his talent. Like, it's
ooh,
just
that's
he,
so dangerous.
I mean, he can't shoot now, but when you're
but
in the pros, and basketball is your well for right now. But when you get in and all you do is practice basketball, you can learn how to shoot.
What do you
like,
think
he
been
can
doing?
Practice shooting.
Right? Do you think he really did a lot more at LSU? I mean, you think you know he was only there a year. I mean, nowadays
basically a half a year. Not even a year.
You know, right. Nowadays, these college football, I mean, college basketball, these guys going to college is kind of a joke, you know? I mean,
yeah, oh, it is.
You
is.
Know? So do you really think they're putting in any kind of freaking class? You know, they have 3 PEs.
More of an exhibition.
Or, you
mean,
know.
I mean, he may show up for class, whether he takes tests or not. Yeah, I don't know.
Right. I mean, you know, if he fails, well, you can't play next year. Well, I'm going to the NBA anyway, so I don't
Right.
So,
kind of like baseball.
So it's more than likely he'll be in Philly and Ingram will go to LA and then we'll see what happens. But like I said, I'm all in for Hield. Give me Hield, I'll be happy.
All right, there you go. Now it is time to move into the Game of Thrones portion of the show. Spoilers ahead, so.
Welcome to the world of showbiz arrangement where lights, camera, action.
action is the life. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
From here, we're going to close the show after that, so if you do not want to hear the Game of Thrones part, then we'll bid you
bye-bye, bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dot com.
And now Game of Thrones. Or we just like end the show and then after the music do the Game of Thrones as like
the
bonus track on a CD. You remember that? Too bad. You're gonna have to listen to Game of Thrones if you want to hear what song we play at the end.
Nobody's really singing for that.
All right, so Damon, you got what you wished for. Last week, you said that you wanted to see naked Daenerys, and you got her.
And it was really her.
Yeah.
Or is that the part you thought was CGI?
Yeah, that's the part I thought was CGI. But it was, see, this show really does make a difference. It shows the power of the internet and the Dome Patrol podcast. I got the Khaleesi naked. So
that's strong, because
that is strong. So I'm just saying our advertising prices, you know, need to go up. You know, someone, you know, if you listen to this, you know, look, I got the Khaleesi naked. Tweet in what you want me to get done next. And
that'd be good. Call us, tweet us, tell us.
That is a great hook.
Tweet us, tell us. What do you want, Damon? What would you have Damon get done? And then you can play the Fat Tony Mafia Simpsons right there.
But, okay, I mean, since we started about Daenerys, I mean, this is the Dany that I am attracted to on the show, and not just her nakedness, but it doesn't hurt. But the strong Dany, when she gets, I find, you know, delve into my sexual fantasies, but that's when I find her most attractive. It's when she's a badass. When, you know, after the end of last season, when, you know, he was feeling bad about shit, I couldn't stand it. We even brought it up this year with Carol on The Walking Dead when she became not attractive. I like strong people. You know, I don't know why I hang on y'all two then. But,
that joke didn't hit.
So I did it. Well, not with y'all two. But anyway, but I loved it. The ending scene, I mean, that was awesome. That was, I didn't see that coming. I didn't see it coming.
No, because I was worried when, you know, when she went to the Threkker place and like, okay, well, this is another way that they're going to prolong her being out and about and not coming to Westeros. She's
right.
Gonna have to deal with all this shit, and at the end of the season something will happen, and then she maybe will move on, but then get sidetracked, because she always seems to get sidetracked. We've been waiting for her to get to Westeros. She's accumulating all this shit and she's stuck out there, because obviously when she gets to Westeros, I mean, that's the end game. The last season will be her riding the dragons in to save the day. But at least, I mean, man, like, when she started, I'm like, man, what does she have going on? And she's in there, and she starts talking shit to these dudes, and I'm like, okay, what's going to happen? And I forgot that, like, when she put her hand on the fire, I'm kind of like, oh, yeah, that's, like, I just remembered, yeah, she's not going to burn. I'm like, holy shit, she's going to burn. You know, she tosses, like, she's burning all these dudes. Although it was weird, like, how quick everything caught fire.
Yeah,
like,
well,
was there fucking gas? Did she line it with gasoline?
Well, no, there weren't. If you look at the containers holding the flame, it wasn't wood or anything. It was some sort of oil.
Okay.
So when he pushed them over, it splashed.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they tried to show you. Because I noticed that on the second watching. They weren't burning wood. It was some sort of, you know, kerosene, I imagine. I who the fuck knows in Westeros? Some dragon's piss or whatever the fuck it is.
Dothraki lube.
Right, you know. But but I did think the same thing, that it sure did go up quick. But look, I mean, it's the story plot. Okay, just something you got to fucking give me here.
Come on.
Yeah, look, believe me.
You're going to believe in three dragons, and please, you won't burn, but the fire will
not. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Jon Snow comes back to life, but
yeah,
you don't think of the fire.
Right. No problem with Jon Snow coming back to life,
right.
But the building caught too quickly.
Look, I'm definitely not bitching about it.
No, I know. But
what did that building made out of tissue?
All right, but look, I did think
it might be because they are nomadic people, so they do need something that can be structured really quickly and taken down quickly.
Well, hold on, but hold on. I mean,
but this was in the city, wasn't it?
Right, this is the city they control.
All right, never mind.
Jeff, what did you do? You got louder all of a sudden.
Oh, I don't know.
Did you make a drink?
No, move my microphone.
Okay.
Well, that's nice. Do that more often.
Okay.
Like,
But
I wonder where it was all day.
It was great to watch kick ass, and now she comes out. So now she's got this entire Dothraki army.
But now she has, if I'm not... Before, she just had a sect of Dothraki.
Yeah, little cows, but then...
Now
yeah,
she has every Dothraki.
Every Dothraki.
So now...
Which she's definitely going to need to overtake the Sons of the Harpy and the Slavers.
Right. Well, but... yeah...
I mean, I'll be honest, she should just leave those fuckers alone and just move on. She's got the Dothraki army, she's gonna have the Unsullied, whatever left over. Yeah. Like to me, that should, and she's got fucking three dragons, that should be good enough.
Well, the Dothraki, you can't bring them in to occupy anything because they're savages. They're not gonna come in like the Unsullied and to keep peace and listen to orders. If they sack a city, even with her, they're gonna...
They're putting their sack in the city.
Right. So, I'm curious. Right. They seem to be an army that, right, you cross the sea with them. You let them just destroy.
Like when she goes into King's Landing, that would be the first wave.
Right. You let them go in, destroy, take their bounty. Then you send them back to the fucking desert, because that's what they are, desert people.
Yeah.
You know, then you send them back and... keep control with the Unsullied and those who would, join your cause. Anyway, but that's a great storyline. I mean, they touched on just about everyone last week. That was so great.
I was very surprised. I mean, thankful, but surprised that we got the Sansa and Jon Snow. Like, the first good
How
Stark,
awesome was
the
that,
first
huh?
good Stark moment in, like, three seasons.
They took Ned's head off.
since they left fucking Winterfell.
Right, right.
It was nice, and like as it happens, and they lingered on it for a while. They came in and they showed her, and then they lingered behind it, and you're just waiting for, all right, when's Snow coming out, all right, he's coming out, and then they turn and see each other, and God, it was such a great scene.
Sure, and
like,
look,
I was just so happy.
And since Ned got beheaded, this is the first time Sansa has been safe. I guess she was safe a couple of episodes ago when. Brienne, right, found her, but really she's with her brother now, and he can really finally, after 4 or 5 years, take a breath. You know, he was berated and abused by
but you had fucking Joffrey, then you had fucking Ramsay.
Well, then you had Littlefinger.
Even Littlefinger, yeah.
Even Littlefinger, you know, he might not abuse her, but he definitely manipulated her. Then you had Ramsay, who was just a cocksucker.
Yeah,
and then he signed, and they set it up so perfect. I mean, Ramsay signed his own death warrant with that letter to fucking.
Oh yeah.
No.
Yeah.
With the head of the Wildlings being there, and him threatening to kill all the Wildlings. I mean, the guy really, he made it so easy for what's going to happen next.
Yeah, oh yeah, for them to, and now you have little Robin Arryn and Littlefinger, so they're going to have that army to help him in whatever uncommitted, Northerners. And I like the fact that Sansa. Like, Snow was being kind of a pussy, and Sansa's like, no, we're fucking taking Winterfell.
Right.
She's taking charge. And Snow's like, all right, yep, sure.
Right. So
at least he's going. And how about the funniest part of the episode was fucking Tormund the Wildling eyeing up Brienne with Tarth. When she came in, I'm like, yeah.
I missed that part.
Really? Well, first up, when Brienne walked in and Tormund's sitting there and he's ironing it down, but then when they're in the room when they read the letter and he's eating the food and just eyeing down Brienne, like, yeah, he was, yeah. So we might see a little 6 foot, yeah.
But again, that was great. I can't wait to see that battle. I can't. Like you said, Littlefinger and Snow joining up, and right, and obviously he's going. You would imagine that he would go to other houses in the north, because we did see that one house who brought the other Stark brother. Right, but the house, pledged.
Oh yeah, yeah. Karstarks are with Ramsay.
Right.
I mean, there's a couple of houses with Ramsay, but anybody uncommitted is going to follow two Starks, and they keep showing. Look, we don't need to know Ramsay is a fucking asshole, but every week they show every week they show him doing something. So like, he is going to get a brutal death this year, and I can't wait.
Right. I mean, especially they killed the Wildling girl. I mean, she hadn't really been in the series.
They kind of brought her back to die.
Right, just to die. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I didn't.
They did a good job almost selling that she was gonna
kill him.
But you knew she wasn't going to be the one.
Well, yeah.
You never. Well, this damn show, you never know.
That's true.
Yeah, but they wouldn't. He's so despicable. His death is going to be by somebody important.
It's got to be by Sansa or Theon.
Snow. Or Theon. Or whoever.
I don't think it'll be Theon.
I don't think it'll be Theon, but who knows with the show? You never know.
Reek.
You know, so now, okay, you're talking about Theon. All right, so now with the Greyjoys and the Iron Men, if the sister is chosen queen, where did that put what does he want to do? What kind of person is he? Do you think he wants to join forces with the Starks? Does he want to conquer the North herself? Does she not give a shit?
I would think because of what Ramsay did to Theon.
Oh, he wants to kill Ramsay.
I think she'll want to kill. So if when she finds out that the Starks are going after
an enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, I think she'll join.
Okay, I mean that makes gets enough sense.
Although I mean that's assuming she's queen. There's still the mysterious brother,
brother, uncle, right?
Right. Who killed the old king? Like, what's? I mean, I don't even know that dude. What the fuck's his deal?
Well, they showed him that one time, and I guess they're gonna get into it more this week. But then he brought up something last week that I didn't think, and not that he wants it, but who knows what kind of twist. Maybe because she's a woman and Theon should be the male heir, technically.
Theon could be king. It could be, or could be the lord.
But he said he was going to support her.
Right. And I think he will, but who knows how the hell they're going to go there. I tell you what.
Well, it'll be the two of them against their uncle.
Could be.
And you're going to have that kind of play out a little bit.
No.
We don't know anything about the uncle. It's just kind of, I mean, they tossed him in there. I'm assuming
maybe they brought him in just to kill the dad so that Theon can come back and support her.
Well, no. I mean, he's going to have got to have some important role. So
his role was to kill the dad.
Right. That was important.
Yeah, I guess
she cannot be queen if he's still there.
Right. Now, the next family, you know, is the Lannisters.
Loving the way Tyrion is running.
Well, I'm worried about they kept, you know, Grey Worm kept saying, yeah, you don't control them, they control you. Like,
yeah, but they don't know Tyrion, man. Tyrion's
right, exactly.
Don't fucking guess Tyrion.
Right. Tyrion is just as devious as the great masters. Okay, if not more so, he's a fucking Lannister. They, you know.
Yeah, the that's what I love about this. See, I'm going into this feeling like these guys have always gotten to where they've been the, you know, top dog.
Right.
They've been the ones that nobody could ever fuck over or mess with, and they've gotten their way all the time. Right. Well, welcome to motherfucking Tyrion Lannister. You are, you know, I know Tyrion Lannister, and you, sir, are no Tyrion Lannister. You know it, I know it, and the Marine people know it.
Jeff, just because I'm curious, do you know where that line comes from?
Isn't that Bob Dole said that during the presidential election?
Bob Dole.
You're close. It was during a presidential election.
Right. I knew. Bob Dole said the "you know it, I know it, the American people know it."
Okay.
But all right, who said?
Or was that Norm McDonald?
I knew so and so, and you are no so and so.
Senator Benson out of Texas to Vice President Quayle, and it was he wasn't Vice President yet, and he was talking about they were comparing, you know, the people were comparing Quayle to JFK because he was young.
Well, that's it, yeah.
And Senator Benson said, "Sir, I knew you, right, John Kennedy, and you know John Kennedy." But anyway, it's just funny. I'm just curious if you would know such a thing.
I knew about it enough to reference.
Well,
maybe
not really.
The details, right?
No, well, not really. I mean, you knew it was a thing. But go ahead. You knew it was a thing.
In the political landscape.
Right. And that was all you knew. But close.
It only fits.
But okay, so back to Tyrion. You're right. Yeah, right. He is. He's going to school the old masters on.
I think
deception and everything else. So now you get to
see.
I'm looking forward. Well, now let's go to King's Landing. I'm looking forward to the High Septon getting his ass kicked.
Oh well, he's definitely got it coming.
You know, much like Bolton, to me every time they show the fucking the priest, I mean, you want to fucking punch him in the face, don't you?
And I'll be honest, like, his storyline is the one that just doesn't interest me. I'm just ready for him to get killed. Like, I hate this whole religious bullshit, whatever. Like, King's Landing is the one story that just doesn't have my attention right now. It's not grabbing my interest. I'm just waiting. Look, they're going to kill this dude. Once they kill this dude, then whatever. Tyrells and Lannisters doing whatever they do while the most more important shit happens elsewhere. Like, King's Landing is kind of like the worst, like, the least interesting spot right now to me. Because none of this means anything. It's not important. The fucking White Walkers are important. The Dragons are important. And that's kind of it. I could care less about King's Landing right now.
I mean,
unfortunately, it's not the show's fault. It's just kind of the way. I mean, I this religious fanaticism. Like, look, this dude's. It's amazing to me that they haven't killed him yet. Like, is he really that fucking powerful that they can't figure something out and kill him? I don't know.
Well, perhaps what I mean, I think they said it once when all this kind of started. But what they're not beating into your head. And I think yes, he is very powerful in the. In the city, this is what I mean. Look, you had the Lannister cousin, you know, switch sides and started joining him. So yes, this cult has the people, especially the poor people, and you have to, you know, you still have to control King's Landing because remember what happened to Joffrey when he's walking the street? They threw shit at him. So you know, and you can't just kill everybody because you need, you know, someone to work the city. So. Yeah, the High Septon is very powerful within the city. Like he said last week, you know, it'd take, you know, two pillars to hold up whatever the fuck, you know, one's the church and one's this. So he is a force to be reckoned with in that way, and I don't get the plan that they put forth at the High Council last week that...
They're just going to have an army come in and wipe them out.
Well, no, but then they said he was supposed to step down. Remember?
Stop.
Let me ask you one thing. I thought that was Tywin's brother, their uncle.
I didn't know who that was until they mentioned his name. Like he's a Tyrell.
They needed another.
He's a Tyrell. See, I thought he was their father's uncle. I don't know. But isn't the old woman a Tyrell?
Yeah, she is too.
And isn't the old man sitting from her a Tyrell? Isn't that her husband?
Yeah, I don't.
So there are three Tyrells on the small council?
Yeah, there is. There is. Well, there were no other.
Maybe
Lannisters. You're not going to put.
Well, maybe that was what the queen was doing, putting her family on the small council and advising the king. Maybe and perhaps I missed it because I thought the older gentleman. Was again the
but he's the, you mean the really old guy with the book all the time? He's the mate.
We're not talking about him.
Oh, come on, God, Jeff.
Yeah,
I don't know. I went pee. I came back in the middle of it.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
you know this is why you're not married anymore.
Oh God,
I have a hard time keeping up with all these characters.
But I mean, I'm hoping they kill him soon because just King's Landing.
No. I agree, and I was hoping
it's just not it's not keeping my attention the way other locales are.
There's a lot of ass whipping coming this season, okay? And I want to get to the ass whipping, okay? You kick it. We're whipping the wise master's asses. We're kicking either the High Septon's ass, and we're kicking Ramsay's
ass.
Okay,
yeah.
I want to know
what's going on with the White Walkers. Like, we just kind of left that.
Come on, Jeff, that happens every year. We all know the White Walkers are coming. They might show them once or twice a season. That's it.
Yeah. Well, are the White Walkers really coming though?
Are they breathing heavy? Yeah,
they're
breathing heavy. Well, in the next. You know, when they show the little preview for next week, apparently Bran has a vision and he comes into contact with White Walkers. So we're going to see him this week, looks like.
Right, but again, you know.
But look, it's kind of like Dany and her dragons. Like, they're there, but.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a slow, because look, to me, these are the two opposing forces that will be the final battle of the entire series. The White Walkers against the dragons.
Sure.
So you're just going to have to. Wait and let all the other shit happen.
Well, obviously the dragons are
equipped with White Walkers.
One of y'all speak at a time? Not
Oof. It's the Man in Black and the Dharma Initiative.
No, but again, the dragon, since dragon ice, a dragon glass kills White Walkers, I imagine if you get blow fire on them, it'll kill them too, right?
You got to think, I mean, it's you got to think so. It's fucking dragons.
Right. So. Yeah.
They yeah. are dragon, the dragon story.
Yeah, and what are the dragons?
You would say it's a slow burn.
Well, the two are still
in
the cave. They're just not chained up. But the other one's just, I don't know, frying goats?
I guess.
And what does he do?
You know, and can he call the dragon? Like, if he really needed, can he say, you know?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
She blows the whistle like Zelda. I don't know how that works.
We'll see. But it seems like, well, like Tyrion said, they're intelligent. They know what's going on. That dragon came in to save her at the end of last season, pulled her out of the situation, and probably is kind of, you know, watching what's going on with her, where she is, knows she doesn't need help yet. He's going to come in when she needs him. He's like, you got this, Danny. Just take your clothes off and burn the building. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I got no issues there.
I'm surprised that. So why do you think she did that? You know, the actress.
Well, she said, like,
I'm going to kill your character if you don't.
No, but there were rumors before that she was the one that said she was never going to do it again. And it seemed like she was trying to dispute that it really wasn't her. But, I mean, it was such a powerful scene. Maybe she just said, look, you know, I think it had to do with as long as, like, they did the precautions. It was a closed set. Not many people were there. I think that's more of her issue. But, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad, but I don't know.
Huh. All right. Anything left on Game of Thrones before we shut this motherfucker down?
Just best show on TV.
All right. Final thoughts, Jason?
Damn. I got nothing. Survivor finale tonight. I'm not going to spoil who won, but there was a twist!
Ha-ha! They brought back Boston Rob and Amber?
And Amber.
All right.
That's all I got.
Jay Damon, final thoughts?
Oh, final thoughts. I'm ready for football season.
Aren't we all?
We're almost in June. I mean, we're very, very close, man. You know, July.
Yeah, almost. We're still mid-May. We still got just under 4 months to go. We got a long ways to go.
Well, in August, I mean, look, I mean, I know we're not playing games in August, I mean, but football season's here, you're in training camp.
We'll be excited when training camp starts, but then preseason happens, we're going to like, all right, fuck preseason.
Yeah, preseason,
preseason's going to get old quick.
No, it does, but you get news every day, it's, you know, it's football, you know, at least God bless it, it's football. And that's it. Oh, and go see Captain America Civil War, I've seen it twice now.
I think I'm going to go see it. I want to go see either Friday or Saturday night. I think I'm going to go see it. Oh, how'd you see it? 2D, 3D?
2D!
And how was that?
Better than 3D! It's amazing how the action scenes actually were better when they were not trying to be three-dimensional.
Yeah, this 3D shit has to stop. I don't know who's going to 3D movies again. I don't think anyone likes it. I know they charge you an extra $3-4 a ticket, but they can't be making that much money if no one's going.
I can see. Like, apparently, I did hear the Jungle Book was good in 3D. It's got to be a complete CGI. And
well, I also think it's different. Like if the movie is animated. Shot 3D. Then it's different. Like Captain America was.
Yeah, but it had to be.
Captain America. It was converted to 3D.
Oh, that's
post, and that's part of the reason why it sucked. If a movie is shot in 3D, apparently it's not as bad. But I'm definitely not on the
right TV. Because there's certain angles and things that you have to take to be shot in 3D. You know, to make the effect work.
To make the background not blurry.
Right. And anyway, yeah. Fuck 3D.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go see it again either Friday or Saturday.
Now, will this be your second or third time?
This will be my second.
Okay. I've seen it twice. Jeff, you've seen it twice. And really is a good movie. You know, it got me into... I watched the original Avengers and the original Iron Man. You know, the first ones. Those movies are so awesome. This is so so much fun what Marvel's doing.
Yeah, it really, like, I watched Ant-Man again the other day. Just, I love it. So good.
All right. And that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank all of our listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol
Podcast.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Scooby donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.
Josh Scobie will be proud that he got a mention on this.
Yeah, he did. I'll have to tweet him.
Was that, Damon, did you do that too whenever you were saying you want to see Danny naked? And then you also said, I don't think I want Josh Scobie.
Hello. Well, that's what you get. I'm